It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Carl Bates.
The Parliament's Workforce and Education Committee has released an interim report on an inquiry into the harm young New Zealanders face online. The government has recently announced an overhaul of the Resource Management Act and introduced two new bills in its place, the Natural Environment Bill and the Planning Bill. For our weekly catch-up with the National Party, I spoke to MP Carl Bates, who is also the Deputy Chairperson of the Workforce and Education Committee, about the new findings of the interim report, the new Natural Environment Bill, and the Fast Track Approval Amendments Bill. So just on our first topic of the interim report on online harm to New Zealanders, Harmful Digital Communications Act of 2015 states that social media companies will not be held responsible for harmful content published on their site. So what sort of changes can we expect to the safe harbour rules in light of the increased online harm experienced by young New Zealanders?
So every parent worries about the potential risks their children face online and the harm that can be caused. The interim report summarised evidence received so far from young people, families, experts, organisations, and as well as that, it outlines the main themes emerging from the submissions where we felt further consideration was required. The review of the Act you're referring to is one of those areas, and the detail on exactly what the committee proposes can come out in the final report early next year.
And how will the new legislation around digital safety ensure people in rural areas aren't isolated while simultaneously being safe online?
At this stage, there's no specific legislation proposed, so that's one of the considerations that the committee can look at as part of its final deliberation going into the final report next year. This is about balancing, ensuring New Zealand children are safe online and aren't seeing the horrendous and horrific content and experiences that we heard about during the select committee process, with the appropriate use of the internet and social media where it's necessary.
And the report also mentions that NZTech and NetSafe had launched a voluntary agreement, the Aotearoa New Zealand Code of Practice for Online Safety and Harms, for social media companies to sign. So why has that not been made a compulsory agreement for social media companies?
So there are a number of considerations that we may look at further than the 12 that were specifically referred to in the interim report. So that's a consideration that could be looked into as part of the final report process. However, the overarching theme that came out of the report and has cross-party support from the major parties is that there is not enough being done to protect Kiwi kids from the online harm they experience, which is not just social media online harm, or online harm experienced by using social media apps and the like. It's about harm experienced across the entire use of the internet.
Can you just reiterate, how is that connected to social media companies not being made to sign the agreement compulsorily?
So there's two things there. One is that often in talking about the online inquiry, there's a significant focus on the social media component. And I'm just reiterating and making sure that listeners are aware that the inquiry was wider than simply the social media component. Secondly, as I already referred to, there are other considerations as referenced in the interim report that will be looked at as part of the final report process, and what you're referring to may be one of them.
Now, the interim report also mentions that restricting access to social media platforms for under 16s will be considered. Now, would Australia's current experiences with the ban influence that consideration in New Zealand?
So the report also indicates that a majority of the parties support the ban, so that's National and Labor. And you may have heard that with Catherine Webb's bill being drawn from the biscuit tin and entering the House, it has the support of National and Labor. Labor have indicated they'll support it at first reading. So we will be progressing that bill should, when it gets to the House. The report refers to the fact that we will, as a select committee, continue to watch the implementation of the social media ban in Australia and look to see what we could learn from their implementation so that we can utilise that insight here in New Zealand.
Now, on to our next topic of the RMA overhaul. The new Natural Environment Bill raises the threshold for public notification. So what is the rationale behind not identifying all affected parties in that bill?
So I think firstly, for context, it's really important to recognise that the current RMA process enforces a culture of no. No to new roads, no to new houses, no to new schools and hospitals, no to farmers farming. And we had to change the fundamental dynamic in which we were building and planning, at the same time protecting the environment here in New Zealand. Under the current RMA process, you can be building a motel in, say, my electorate of Whanganui and have someone who has some distant connection to Whanganui during the planning process say, "I object." And we don't think that's right, and so we've lifted the bar for who has the right to be notified and involved in a planning process as part of the future of planning here in New Zealand.
And what sort of limits will apply to critical infrastructure when balancing the economic aspirations of the country and the life-supporting role of the natural environment?
So what sort of limits are you asking about specifically?
So the Natural Environment Bill essentially also stated that when building critical infrastructure, limits will apply to it to protect the natural environment. So what I mean is that what sort of limits would we apply to critical infrastructure when balancing the economic aspirations of the country and the life-supporting role of the natural environment?
So that's quite an open question in the context that depending on the project will depend on what sort of impact that project will have. And as part of the select committee process, there'll be an opportunity for people to raise questions around examples of projects that they may have either concerns that won't be able to go ahead still under this new regime, or may be able to go ahead that they have a perspective that shouldn't or wouldn't be appropriately limited, and they'll be able to be taken, those considerations, those questions will be able to be taken to account as part of that select committee process. The bottom line is, if we want to have New Zealand have the prosperity that we certainly want the country to have, so that we can have the schools, hospitals, social services that New Zealanders deserve, we have to ensure we enable economic growth. And for too long, we have stopped critical infrastructure from being built or being reconsented for that matter because of far too stringent requirements on either that reconsenting or the building of that critical infrastructure in the first place, and we need to open that up.
And lastly, with the new Fast Track Amendments Bill, how will the government negotiate any overlap between this bill and the Natural Environment Bill when it comes to considering the life-supporting role of the natural environments and fast-tracking infrastructure projects for national benefit?
Well, I imagine that'll be the role of the Environmental Protection Agency as the overseer of the fast-track process. And ultimately, a project has to fit within the law, and so the fast-track approval process will have to work with this new planning regime.
That was the National Party's Carl Bates about the interim report on online harm, the Natural Environment Bill, and the Fast Track Approval Amendment Bill.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Carl Bates.